Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. What you're hearing is the sound of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. But this group of legendary New Orleans musicians aren't just producing the sound of their own art or promoting their own albums. They're projecting and preserving the sound of an entire city, culture, and even genre. Ask any musician what genre of music they're in awe of, and you'll likely find that jazz, particularly New Orleans jazz music, is at the top of their list and on the tip of their tongue. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band travels all over the world, playing shows alongside some of the biggest names in almost every genre of popular music, from blues to bluegrass, indie to rock and roll. I met the band at the Avalon Theater in Easton last week. It was the morning before their show, but the 400-seat historic Vaudevillian Theater was already packed to the hilt with elementary school children. See, a part of what the band does is to educate the next generation about the rich history of the music they love and show how it's been intertwined into almost every part of their lives.
My name is Charlie Gabriel, and I play clarinet in the Preservation Hall Jazz Band out of New Orleans. Well, we are really trying to preserve the music of jazz from New Orleans. It goes way back in an early part of the years, back in the early 20s. When he had so many jazz bands in New Orleans, like Papa Celestine and Cindy Bechet and all those guys, Johnny Sincere and Jimmy Noon, all the different musicians, the Eureka Jazz Band, the Olympic Brass Band, they had Algiers Brass Band, all these bands were playing in New Orleans in the early part of the year, in the century, in other words. And until 1917, until they closed down the Sturgeville in New Orleans, the music stayed in New Orleans. Later on, when they closed down Sturgeville in 1917, the music moved up in the area, went to St. Louis, Chicago, New York. Those musicians, they have no place in New Orleans to work, so they moved in that area, and this music moved with them. And when they got in a different region, they tested the people, did something to the people, and the people themselves accepted this music because it's the spirit of the music that they feel, and they do something to the music, and the music does something to them. So what we are doing is we travel around the world, we try to preserve this energy and this music for what it really is, because this is the birthplace of, we nurse this music in New Orleans. So we try to keep this music alive to the next generation of our kids and things. So we teach this to them as we go on. We hand this craft back down to them so we can keep this music alive.
You know, this is the 50th year of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Talk about, I guess, this passing of the torch down to the next generation and just how enthused those kids were. But I was looking at your faces up there on stage, and you seem to be just having just as much fun as the kids were.
When I look out there and see all them beautiful faces of these young kids, I got full, really. It really filled me up, and it made me want to really cry, because to see all that young faces that they really wanted to, they want this energy that we have, we brought from one century to another century, because it come from another century, you know what I mean? It makes you feel so good that you can hand this down to them. And the only way you can do that is by communicating them musically, because it's a spirit that we have that we transcend to one another. See? And it's just a young spirit. If they can get it at a younger age, they carry it on with them, and they hand it back down to the next generation. That's what I feel, and that's what I look at when I see these kids. I get very full. I love to see the smile and things on their faces. It's such a pleasure. All the money and everything in the world doesn't pay for that.
All right. So tell me your name.
Brayden.
Brayden, how old are you?
9.
9 years old. And how old, what's your name?
Jocelyn.
And how old are you, Jocelyn?
9 and a half.
9 and a half.
Or you can say I'm 9 3/4.
9 3/4.
Happened in 2 weeks.
So you guys just watched the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Have you guys ever heard that band before you came here today?
Yes, we have, because we've been listening to it in school so we could see what it sounds like.
Right. And what did you think about it when you heard it in school versus hearing it today live, like seeing the people in person?
I think on live, I think it was much better because in school, it's, you can't really actually still, like, see the people who actually made the song.
Like, do you listen to jazz at home?
Yes, I do, and I feel like it's you're experiencing the songs and everything like that.
I thought it was interesting when they were talking about how every instrument in the band plays a very vital role. What was your favorite instrument up there today?
The drums.
The drums. And how about you?
Clarinet, because I liked how high it was.
And what do you think the differences are between music like this, you know, jazz music, something that sounds so much like New Orleans, and what you hear on the radio today?
I think there's a lot because, like, the drums has more hearing than the piano, so I think the drums is much better than all of them.
Right. So do you guys like these guys better than, let's say, Justin Bieber?
Yes, really much. Totally.
It's interesting, too, that you mentioned on stage, one of the kids asked, how long have you been playing music? And you said that, you know, you're 79 years old and you've been playing since you were 7 years old. You know, being a professional musician and being in the industry as long as you have, you've watched genres come and go, you've watched trends come and go, but I guess how has jazz changed as the world has changed, as musical tastes have changed?
Well, jazz hasn't changed. They just put different melodic line, different melody over the old stuff. See, this music first, it came through the church. It came through gospel, through the church. And we played spiritual hymns in New Orleans with the brass bands, like Just a Closer Walk We, Just a Little While to Stay Here. All these were nothing but hymns. But after the Civil War, the World War One ended, and the freeing of the slave in 1865, there was in New Orleans walking through the street playing hymns with the brass bands. Later on, when they closed down Storyville in 1917, they moved to other parts of the country, New York, Chicago, and all the different places. The guys would play those particular, they changed the words from spiritual hymn into earthly words, you understand? Then they couldn't play those hymns in the nightclub, things that wasn't appropriate, for one thing. They couldn't play. So they play a different melodic line over a hymn. Like if you did Just a Closer Walk with D, there's many, many songs are written on that particular song. So then, and then at the same time, that's how the changes came in. The club owners used to have to pay BMI and ASCAP. You had to pay taxes for the song that you're playing. So the club owners didn't want to pay the taxes, so they told the guy we can't afford it. So what they did, they played Just a Closer Walk with D, and they played boop boop dee 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 doo dee 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 ba doo dee dee doo dee 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 ba. That happened to be Just a Little While to Stay Here. They play a different melodic line over that.
Yeah. Just a slight variation of the theme.
They won't play the melody. Right. So as that went along, all those other songs, like, let's say, Home in Indiana. Right. Well, if they played that song, the ASCAP would have to get taxes on it. So people like Charlie Park and Dizzy Gillespie wrote another line on it. They wrote Donna Lee. That was Donna Lee. They did Georgia Brown. Sweet Georgia Brown. Then they couldn't play Sweet Georgia Brown. They played tax over what they did. They played. See what I mean? Yeah. That was another way of getting around it. So the music itself didn't change. They did put melodic lines on. And the media, like yourself and all the people, they renamed it. And they say, well, that's so and so. They put names on it. Right. I gave you one example. Back in the late 40s, when bebop were coming in and Charlie Parker and Diz were talking about this music, they were playing on their horn flat thirds and flat fives. But they didn't call it flat third and flat fives. So they were just playing it. So the guy said, what kind of music is that you guys are playing? And they named it. You know, we didn't name it.
Right.
And it went the same way when we went to Freedom Foam, when Art Shep and all of them started playing, and everybody played a different melodic line, that you call this freedom foam. But it wasn't a freedom foam, because if you got some system, any chord progression, you play inside of that foam.
Right.
Even though they were playing something different, everybody, but they still were playing inside. It wasn't free inside that foam. You were free within yourself, but you were still stuck inside the foam of that music. Right.
So there's always been that theme of jazz music, but I guess as the times changed, the musicians got a little bit more creative with the variation of the theme.
That's right. It's like you say, you're saying rap. Mm-hmm. Well, they would have a call and respond way back during slavery time. Because you used to talk with the drums. See, we sent messages to one another with the drum way back when you go all the way farther back with the drum. So call and respond is the same thing we do in the day. We are calling and responding. They're talking about rap. It's still the same thing, but it's just on a different level. It goes all the way back. So it ain't nothing new.
Can you hear the influences in the stuff that you grew up with? Can you hear the influences in the music that you play here at Preservation Hall Jazz Band in the music that is put
hip-hop,
out there today?
Hip-hop and all that. I hear the relationship, because it's all one of the same thing. It just took a different level inside of this music. But the music itself, we are Preservation Hall Jazz Band that is preserving the beginning of the music. Unless you experience it musically, you must go to New Orleans to feel the energy. And this music is in the food, is in the atmosphere of the people. It's a part of our life. And jazz, and so we are the people in the city of New Orleans that try to keep this music alive throughout the whole universe.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Coastal Connection on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm your host, Brian Russo. We're speaking with Charlie Gabriel, the clarinet player for the world-renowned Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Not only are you preserving, you know, the music, but you're also preserving the musicians. I thought it was very interesting that post-Katrina, Preservation Hall was very integral in helping create a foundation to help musicians that were trying to, you know, continue on and overcome that tragedy.
Those musicians that were left in the city of New Orleans after Katrina, you know, a lot of them left New Orleans because of that. But those that were left down there, they were trying to keep alive the music, but also there was nowhere to work. So they, by not having no place to work, we was trying to get the other musicians back into the city of New Orleans. One of the reasons why I myself came back to New Orleans, because I had left New Orleans for a long period of time and lived in another part of the country. And I felt that it was my duty to go back to New Orleans and help to preserve this music. My family moved into New Orleans in 1842, and my grandfather had Martin Joseph Gabriel had the National Jazz Band in 1902 that hosted majority of jazz musicians out in New Orleans. Like, for instance, Freddie Kep, who was the first guy to offer a recording contract, was a member of my grandfather's band. He was a violinist at that time, and then later on he became a cornetist. My grandfather at that time, 1905 and 1902, was an accordion player, and he became a cornet player. My father was Martin Manuel Gabriel was a drummer and a clarinet player. So after my dad made his transition in 1983, I felt that in order to keep this legacy of my family legacy alive, and all to support what I really believe and what I felt from the beginning of my life. When I woke up in this universe at age of 7, I didn't have no choice but to play music. Everyone in my family played music. However, it was a need for a musician like myself, another musician that had left home and went elsewhere to make a lifestyle of their own, to come back to New Orleans. So I'm just one of the few musicians that helped to try to come back to New Orleans and preserve this music for what it really is. Because this is the true music. This is really it. I don't care what it is. I used to tell everyone throughout the universe, and I've been doing this since I've been 7 years old playing music. I started playing professionally at 11. I was with the Rico Jazz Band in 1944 and 45 during World War II. I was playing with all them old musicians like Percy Humphrey, Fred Willie Humphrey, T-Bar Renee, God Madison, Kid Shot, Jim Robinson. All these old musicians were members of the Preservation Band before I even came here. But I also played with them when I was a little boy. I was about 11 years old, and they were 26, 27 years old, and they all made their transition. So that made me feel, really, that I have to go back. I had no other choice but to go back to New Orleans to help the poor. I think I'm about one of the youngest musicians that's living now who is old.
After the morning show, Charlie Gabriel and Ricky Monet, the pianist of the group, who's often called the professor, took a drive from their hotel over to meet and play for, and eventually with, the fifth grade band members of Easton Elementary School. After listening to a few of the kids play Mary Had a Little Lamb, Charlie raised his clarinet, and Ricky saddled up to the school's upright piano and told them it was time to play some jazz. Ryan Catterton is the music teacher and band leader at Easton Elementary.
And, you know, a lot of the things that I tell the kids about music, you know, we talk about all types of topics, but it's incredible to have someone else. I mean, let alone the fact that we have the Preservation Hall guys here, you know, in our gym in Easton, Maryland is unbelievable. To have these two guys take the time to come over here, and you can tell now, you can't hear, kids are noisy, but they're just glued to what's going on here. So it's, I guess I'm just saying we're very fortunate to have, you know, Avalon set this outreach, and you can't ask for two better guys, these gentlemen right now, you know, working with our kids. So,
as Ryan mentioned, the Avalon Theater made this whole thing happen, as they conduct a music outreach program throughout the community that has almost the exact same goal as what the Preservation Hall Jazz Band is doing with the music of New Orleans. Alexander Bond is the executive director of the Avalon Foundation.
We try to make sure that whenever there's an act that's coming through that could come into the schools, that we make that possible, facilitate it. And then four times a year we have these programs where we bring performance in that's specifically for the kids to hear. I really believe that there's such a thing as cultural literacy. You know, I'm never going to write sonnets like Shakespeare, but if I don't understand why that's great, then I'm illiterate. Mm-hmm. You know, there are plenty of kids that were in our audience today, they're never going to pick up an instrument. If they can hear Preservation Hall and understand what's great about it, then they are more culturally literate people as a result.
I always wanted to ask a jazz musician what it was about music that continues to move people generation after generation, through good times and celebrations, through the most devastating of times, whether it's a hurricane, a war, or even just a broken heart.
This music freed everybody. It didn't only free the blacks or the white, it freed the people in Germany. During World War II, behind the Iron Curtain, they would used to have blackout, and the people, you get around the radio and listen to jazz, because in the music itself, you have the rhythm and you got the freedom. That's where the freedom's at. The freedom is in the music. See, that's one of the reasons why they couldn't break the spirit of those slaves during slavery time. They couldn't break their spirit because they were free when they sung and danced and worked. And that's where the freedom in the music. That's how it freed you, freed me, and everyone else. It's in the spirit of the music that we are free. It's free the whole universe.
So, you know, to kind of move that towards today, that idea of freedom and finding something in this music that you play and that you've lived your entire life, when you're playing for, you know, hundreds of kids or even just one kid and you make that connection out in the crowd, do you feel like that's an education in itself?
If you can connect with one, and just one, that is enough.
That was Charlie Gabriel, the clarinetist for the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. To learn more about Preservation Hall in New Orleans, the tremendous seven-piece band that bears its name, or the music outreach program spearheaded by the Avalon Foundation in Easton, Maryland, click over to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Rousseau.